Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, January 12th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. And I know a little about that myself. I've had 10 careers so far. I started as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer, a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's program. Peter Drucker once said, "The aim of marketing is to know and understand the customer so well that the product or service fits him and sells itself." Today's show is brought to you by Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. So let's get started. And by the way, if you're listening online and calling to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. We have a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is The Unbreakable Rules of Marketing, 9.5 Ways to Get People to Love You. Marketing is about getting people to love you. That's what it comes down to. Love. Love for you. Your ideas, your product, your services, your organization, or anything you're trying to market. No matter what it is, you have to know the rules. The unbreakable rules of marketing are the rules on how to get that love. You'll learn in today's show how to consistently beat the ability, how consistency beats ability, and how a good strategy and constant exposure wins every time. How emotions rule the world, and how you can use them in marketing to connect with people, how every single thing you do is marketing, and how you can use that to your advantage. And our guest this month is Kathy Armless. Let me tell you a little bit about her. When companies need to reach people in unique ways, they call Kathy Armless. She is notorious for creating wildly successful marketing strategies. She runs Pura Marketing, that's P-U-R-A, Marketing, and she is the author of the book, The Unbreakable Rules of Marketing, 9.5 Ways to Get People to Love You. Kathy's use of The Unbreakable Rules of Marketing has helped reach millions of people and quadrupled her clients' sales. Here's an example. Kathy created a viral marketing campaign for a client by shredding items such as soccer balls, torpedoes, even a Volkswagen, and posting videos of them online. It landed the client on the David Letterman Show, CNN, CNBC, the Discovery Channel, and many other national TV shows, as well as, get this, netting them $25 million in additional revenue in the first year that it ran. Kathy's mission is to teach people the unbreakable rules of marketing so that they can use them in their efforts to get people to love them and love what they do. She has a campaign going on that I find fascinating. Maybe she'll tell us about it. It's called Steal Me. This campaign was launched in 7 major cities where she leaves the book in public places with a sticker that says Steal Me on it. And on the inside of the book, it explains the rules of reading the book and putting it back in a public place so someone else can read it and enjoy it. Fascinating idea. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, thank you, Yvonne. Nice to be here.
I am so glad you're here. I'd like to ask you about a few of your rules. Your first rule is that consistency beats ability. So Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, if you've ever taken two companies that make the same exact product, and one company focuses really, really hard on trying to make the best product possible, which, by the way, is a really good idea, but the other company actually says, you know, this is kind of enough where we're at, but I want to spend more time on being consistent and trying to reach the customers and clients that this product was intended for, and they spend more of their time being consistently in front of the customers, they're going to beat the person with more ability. And I always use this, if you go back to the 80s, I always use this story about VHS and beta when there was the VHS and beta war going on, like who was going to be the standard, who was going to be the standard technology. Well, Sony Beta, that was known in the industry to be the better technology, like professional videographers use that technology, they stood hard and fast in the fact that they weren't going to allow anyone to use their technology. And they said, no, we have the better technology. We're not going to license it to anybody. And VHS kind of took a different route and said, you know, we just want to get it out there. We want to be consistent in front of our customers, so we're going to allow anybody to license it. What ended up happening is what became the standard was the bigger, less quality, clunkier videotape, if we all can remember back to the 80s. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, is it's better to be consistent than to focus on being, you know, better ability.
That's interesting. As far as consistency goes, in today's world, they're saying change your headers on your Facebook page a lot and change this and change that all the time. And so how does that work with consistency? Is that still valid?
Well, I find, Yvonne, that it actually isn't, and here's why. If you think about it, by the time we get sick of our Facebook picture or our cover photo, by the time we're like, oh, I can't stand looking at it anymore, people in our networks are just getting used to it. And it comes time when you literally make a comment and you're in somebody's feed and they can recognize your little thumbnail picture even though it's just a little tiny, you know, quarter-inch picture. They can recognize it from their phone. They can recognize it from their computer. It becomes consistent in their mind. And the consistency just isn't across the look and feel. It's the tone. It's the time. I know of a client of mine, he sends out an email exactly at 11:59 every single Friday. He's consistent. Everybody knows that they're going to get that email at 11:59 p.m., by the way. So I'm literally like, I'll be out on a Friday night, and I'm like, oh, there it is. There's that email that I know that I'm going to get at 11:59, and I just wait for it every week.
That's very, very true, as a matter of fact, because I look for that picture that I recognize myself everywhere on the web as the person posts anything, because it does follow you around the internet.
Right, right.
Let's talk about perception. Rule number two. Rule number two says that perception is reality.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately or fortunately, depending which way you go, what people perceive about you, and this is what I love about the Unbreakable Rules, it's just literally a set of foundational rules. And when you read them, you're probably thinking, Kathy Armias did not make these rules up. The universe did. Your grandmother's probably told you about these rules. Your mother's told you about these rules. Life has taught you about these rules. So these rules aren't anything that I've made up or said that it's a special formula for fantastic marketing. It's just the things that are actually there that connect us with other humans, and we have to know about them. And one of them is perception. What people perceive about you is ultimately their truth. That's ultimately what they believe about you, is whatever their perception is. Now, there is good and bad news with that. The good news is that you are partially responsible for that. You give them the canvas in which they paint their picture of you. But the bad news is, if you're not controlling that perception, somebody else or something else is. So I always talk about it that you need to know what that perception is. You need to always kind of have your ear out listening for what the perception is and make sure that you're steering it in the direction that you want to position yourself in, whether it's for your personal brand or if you work for a multinational corporation. You have to make sure that you're always aware of what people are perceiving about you.
So do you have an example of how you could do that, because I actually totally agree with that. And one of the things that I do for this particular rule from a personal standpoint is once a month I go online and I Google myself so that I find out what's out there about me. And I actually once found some of my words repeated by a university in one of their programs and in one of their papers by one of their professors that I never would have known if I hadn't gone out there and say, what's the perception about me out there on the web? Let me go Google myself.
Right. So you found it under your own name?
I found it under my name because when she cited the source, when the professor cited the source of the information in her article, my name was
right
there, and Google found it and served it up, even though, by the way, it was a PDF.
Right. So the thing is, you can't control the way people perceive. All you can do is create the story that you want to tell them, basically. When you put a perception out there about yourself, and I believe what you're asking me is how do you change that if the perception out there is negative or it's not what you want it to be even. It doesn't even have to be negative. You might think that your clientele or your customers are perceiving you a certain way, and they're not. So that's why the first step is to always just be aware, be very self-aware of what people are thinking about you. And it is absolutely a fantastic idea to go out and Google yourself at all times, or your company. If you work for a company or you own a company or work for an organization, always make sure that you're in touch with your customers and what people are thinking about you. And then you have to create stories, and you have to create visuals, and you have to create backup data of what it is that you're trying to portray yourself as. And I think that social media has helped that quite a bit, but I think social media has also torn that down quite a bit as well. One person, for instance, that will remain nameless, came to me and said, hey, I really want help with positioning myself in this manner as a professional speaker and author. And one of the first things I did was I went and checked out their Facebook, and I saw a picture of them from high school in the back of a pickup truck drinking beer. And I wrote him a message and said, hey, did you know this picture was out there? And he's not completely, tech savvy, if you will, and he didn't even know the picture was up there. Somebody else had tagged him. So, I mean, there you go. There's a perfect example of making sure that you know what's out there and controlling the story in which you want to have people perceive.
Thank you. I'm going to jump over to Rule 7.
Rule 7,
everybody, is that emotions rule the world. We're emotional beings. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. As humans, we absolutely make our decisions based on emotions. Even if we think we're making a logical decision, the way it works is we buy emotionally and then we justify rationally. Everything that we buy, it's because we have an emotional attachment to it. Even if it comes down to the point where you think you've made a very informed decision, the thing that will typically tip you over on the scales will be something emotional, something that is close to your heart, something that really connects with you. Many times it's a complete emotional buy, and then we scramble afterwards to try to find the supporting facts to support our decision, confirmation bias, if you will. But nobody goes out and buys a Ferrari because it gets good gas mileage, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I think maybe that's why they pose a pretty girl next to a car to get people to come over to that car, because I've been to the car shows, and even though it's 2013 now, they still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it still attracts people over to the product.
Right.
And then she engages them in conversation, and the next thing you know, they're getting emotionally attached to the car through this conversation with this person who maybe they might not have walked over to that particular car before.
Oh, absolutely. I just recently returned back from a trip to New York, and I tell you what, I was more concerned about wearing a jacket one day. I had a meeting. I was more concerned about wearing a jacket that I thought looked better than the one that actually was more functional because it was warmer. And I froze my butt off the whole day because of that decision. But it was an emotional decision on my part that I chose to wear the non-functional jacket over the one that I thought would make me, you know, feel better because I felt better wearing it.
That's a great transition to our next rule, number 9, which is about that everything is about marketing. You're marketing yourself at the time, huh?
Absolutely.
So that everything you do affects how people perceive you from the way you dress and associate yourself. And so to me, it's part of not just marketing, but part of your brand of how people process you as they meet you in those first few moments or at work, whether you're going to get promoted or not. I mean, marketing is not just for products, physical products. We are products as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we are marketing ourselves at all times. Like you said, it's the way that we dress. It's the first impression we give people. It's the way we shake somebody's hand. It's the way that we leave our message on our answering machine. It's the way we sign off on our emails. It might even be, I used to work with somebody that used to write all of their emails in all caps. And we all know what that means. It means that you're being screamed at. So I couldn't help but to read the email, and every time I read it, I just had to read it in that really loud voice in my head that this person was screaming at me at all times. So it's everything that you do is marketing yourself and or the organization that you work for. So you have to be very, again, it's that point of being very aware of what you're doing. You, even on Facebook, can be associating yourself with the wrong people. You might have that crazy friend that's making these crazy comments, and all of the other rest of your network is seeing that. Or maybe you have a crazy family member that's making comments, and we all have that, right?
Absolutely.
So that's all part of your marketing and what people perceive about you. And you just have to be aware of it, and you have to know that everything that you're doing is affecting how people perceive you. And if they want to associate with you or do business with you, it comes down to that.
Yes, and I think also another thing to consider is that not just the people you associate yourself with, but the businesses that you associate yourself with. That also reflects on you, your company, your business, right? There's a lot of marketing today that says you need to partner with other companies that are a good match for what it is that you do. And to me, sometimes people partner with a company and I'll be thinking, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you with that company? It might have a bad reputation or people may, and by that I mean maybe the product is not up to par, or the people who work there say, oh, this is no place for you to work. And now that other company you partner with is now going to taint your brand.
Oh, indeed. It even goes further than that, because that's kind of an easy one. We can all relate to that. We don't want to work or be in alignment with a company that has a bad reputation or has bad products or, you know. I live in Portland. The Portland is the city of recycling, and I always feel this social pressure every time I go to a garbage receptacle and I'm getting ready to throw everything away, and we'll have, like, you know, there's like 10 recycling bins, and I always feel stressed out, like, I better make sure that I'm putting each thing in its right place, and there's people standing behind me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to think I'm the most horrible Portlander ever if I can't figure out where to put my recycling. I mean, it literally comes down to even on that personal level of what you do and how you act. It's always a way of marketing yourself. It's just out there, and you have to be aware of it.
Yes, because you're marketing yourself all the time, whether you're aware of it or not.
Yes.
Even in simple things like whether you write Y-O-U-R or the letter U and the letter R, it says something about you. You could write the letter U and the letter R to your friends, but when it's business, it says something bad about you when you use that kind of grammar.
Right. Oh, I know. For me personally, I'm the kind of person I'd rather take that extra second, even to write to my own friends in a text message, and I make sure that all the punctuation is correct and all the grammar is correct, because I don't want people to feel that I'm a slacker or that I don't care enough to, you know, use proper, you know, grammar and punctuation with them. So I do. I believe that, and I think we get a little slack in that sometimes, but definitely something to pay attention to.
Right. Everything is marketing. So let's look at Rule 6. We're jumping around here, but let me ask you about this give love to get love. Tell us about that.
Oh, gosh. I love this rule. It's the premise of the why the whole book was written. Actually, even Pura itself, my company, is an acronym, stands for Promotions Using Reciprocal Affinity. I believe that you have to give love to get love, and you can give love on so many levels. In the marketing sense, I always tell my clients, think about even the fact of when you market to somebody, maybe let's say in an advertisement. You create an ad, and the amount of work and effort that you're willing to put out to reach them on a human level and entertain them, and to just be aware of the fact that when you are marketing to somebody, you're literally taking time from their life, and time is something that they are not able to get back. So how are you respecting their time? Are you entertaining them? Are you just trying to literally push your products onto them? Oh, my gosh, we have the best products ever. We sell this, and it's the best ever. I hate that. We appreciate it as humans when somebody can market to us in a way that makes us laugh and makes us cry sometimes even. You know, going back to the emotional rule, it doesn't always have to be funny, but it has to entertain us. So that's one way. I mean, people always think the give love to get love is only on the customer service sense. And, of course, I mean it that way as well, but there's so many different ways that companies can give love to get love. And I think you have to give it first and not expect it until you're putting it out there.
I completely agree with you. And that also says to the person who's buying your product or interacting with you, I care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very important to them. We're coming down to the wire here, but I wanted to ask you to please share a little bit of the Steal Me campaign. How's it going? Because I was checking it out, and it seems to be all over the world.
Yes, we have planted it in more than 10 cities now and growing. And it actually started from the love rule. I first thought about it the first time I had visited New York for a business trip back in the summer. And I saw all these people sitting on the subway with nothing to do. They were just sitting there, you know, looking down. And the people that I found that were the most engaged in what they were doing were the people that were reading. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea just to slap some Steal Me stickers on it and say, here's my way of loving you. Read the book, entertain yourself for the trip on the train. But the rule is you have to put it back when you're done reading it. You can't just keep it for yourself. You have to put that love back out there. So that's kind of where it started, and the books have been circulating all over the place, all over the world, and people have been sending us pictures. Go to the Facebook page, you'll see pictures of people with the book all over the world. So it's been a really fun campaign and just a way to kind of give love out there.
That is a very clever marketing idea. In my mind, because it not only shows the love, but it gets your book into the hands of people that typically you might not reach, because it's just there saying, take me. And one of the things that I loved in your book, thanks for sending me a copy of the book, by the way, that you in the beginning, you describe the fact that you're always, always marketing yourself because it's a part of every waking moment of your life. In your book, you say, you know, you take the time to get dressed in the morning, you're marketing yourself. Everyone, and everyone you interact with that day, you're marketing yourself. You market yourself in everything you do, the way you speak, how you stand, how you walk, where your eyes are when you talk to someone, in whatever you do. And so marketing then is more than just what the traditional thought process is of the word or the process of marketing. It encompasses everything you do and say every day. Do you agree?
Right. Absolutely, and how you do it. It isn't about a pretty logo or a nice ad campaign or, you know, even a sales or marketing tactic. It's about how you interact. It's about how you engage. And like we said, it's all about getting people to love you. Getting people to love you, love what you do, love your products, love your services, maybe even love your cat. And that's a really hard sell sometimes.
You know, the fact that you mentioned that just flashed this thing that I read recently on Forbes magazine. There was an article, and they were interviewing a CEO about, you know, how do you decide who you're going to hire, because he was pretty picky. And mm-hmm. he gave an example of how he was interviewing people for this job, and everybody was very, you know, businesslike and all this kind of stuff. And then this one guy, when he was interviewing him, he heard a little yip. And the guy said to him, you know, I apologize. That's my dog, my little puppy here, and he's here saying I want something or whatever. And interestingly enough, the CEO said that that made a huge difference to him, and he hired that guy because he said, if you have the ability to share your life with the pet and not, like, get rid of it because you're on the phone, that was the kind of thoughtful, caring kind of person he was looking for to bring into the company. He goes, I can teach you some technical stuff, but I can't teach you to care.
Right. I love that. I love that.
It's being
human.
Really interesting. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So we're almost at the end of the time here, and I'd like to ask you, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to share with the listeners about
the
subject?
I would love to just say, again, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. Think about marketing not as a task or not something that you're obligated to do. Think of it as part of your life and the fun part of your life, getting to share your love and your passion with other people and finding the right people to do that with, not trying to scheme somebody that's not right for what you do into buying what it is that you do. But think of marketing as love, and you'll always do really well in what you do. That would be what I would say.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful interview, Kathy, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. In the book, The Clue Train Manifesto, Levine, Locke, and Searles and Weinberger said, and I quote, a powerful global conversation has begun because through the Internet, people are discovering and inventing new ways to share relevant information with blinding speed. And as a direct result, markets are getting smarter and getting smarter faster than most companies, which means that these unbreakable rules that Kathy just shared with us is more important than ever, because people are smarter, markets are smarter, and if you use these rules, you'll find that you'll be more successful with your products and services. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday each month. In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown, like the color, to share your comments about today's show. While you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us some feedback on today's show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and I look forward to having you join us again next month. Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at yvonne@yvonnefbrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, yvonnefbrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.